go to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2 as we continue our new study on the names of Jesus Christ. We looked at five of them last week, and now we dive into Psalms. And these are what are referred to often as the Messianic Psalms, because they introduce the person of Jesus Christ through prophecy in Psalms. And Psalms 2 is our first one. In verse 7 and verse 12, Mr. Scott, to get us started, and then we will pray and start again. Psalms 2, verses 7 and 12. Yes, please. So the Son, or the Son of God, is one of the titles of Jesus, names of Jesus Christ that's introduced here early in the Psalms, chapter 2. So let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom and your presence as we continue studying the names of our wonderful Savior. May it again, Lord, renew in our hearts our love for him, our admiration, just our awe of who he is. And Lord, may we grow through this study, and may it give us that many more opportunities, Lord, to be a blessing to the lost as we share our Savior with them. So guide us in your truth. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is referred to as one of the Messianic Psalms because if you look at the verses between 7 and 12, it's very prophetic about the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom that he will one day return to earth and set up. But as you can see in verse 7, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This is quoted in the New Testament. So we know that it is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, if you go to Daniel chapter 3, we will see another prophecy. Well, not really a prophecy, but a foreshadow, I guess would be a better word. So Howard chapter 3, verse 25 of Daniel.
He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they get no dirt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
So this is when Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fiery furnace after they had thrown the three Hebrew guys in there. And he looked and saw four walking around when only three were thrown in. And by the way, if you look in the other Bibles, it says Son of the Gods instead of Son of God. That's pretty significant, isn't it? Jesus is not a son of the gods, is he? He is the Son of God. And we believe that the Son of God was with those three Hebrew children, helped them survive the fiery furnace, step out with not even their hair singed. But it's a beautiful foreshadow of Jesus Christ. So we get to the New Testament, and you go to Luke chapter 1. This is at the birth of Jesus. And verse 32, Philip, if you would. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. So this is the angel giving a prophecy about Jesus Christ to Mary. So the angel said to Mary, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is at his birth. And then if you go to verse 35, same chapter, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. So here we see right at his, even as he was conceived, we're told that his name would be the Son of God. And that is, of course, Jesus Christ. There are three that bear record in heaven. 1 John 5:7 says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And so the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the introduction of Mark's gospel, also shares this name with us. So, Mark, Zeus, could you read that for us? Mark 1, 1. I picked it because it's, you know, your name.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
So there it is. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Jesus Christ's name introduced in the second psalm is the Son of God. This name occurs in the New Testament almost 50 times. So it is a very significant name of Jesus. If you go to Matthew 16:16, we'll see here where the Apostle Peter, this is about midway through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Peter already now understands and recognizes the person of Christ. James, could you read that? Matthew 16:16.
And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
So Jesus said, verse 15, "Whom say ye that I am?" The disciples said, "Others are saying this about you." Jesus said, he looked at his disciples and said, "Who say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ," which is Messiah, the Son of the living God. So that was his testimony about his understanding of the person of Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of the living God. One thing that's very interesting is in Christ's ministry, the devils recognized the person of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Let's go to Mark chapter 3 and we'll see this. Verse 11. Now, why would that be? Any thoughts? Why would the devils know that he was the Son of God? Yes, Beryl. Exactly. So they were created by the Son of God. They had seen him in his glory in heaven before they fell and went with the devil, didn't they? And so they knew right away who he was. Notice Mark 3:11, Brandon, if you could read that for us.
And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, "Thou art the Son of God."
Unclean spirits, "Thou art the Son of God." Isn't that something? Look over chapter 5, verse 7 of Mark. Brandon, read that one too, if you would. Mark 5, 7.
And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not."
They knew who was in charge, didn't they? They were asking. And they often asked permission. When they asked permission to leave the one man, the legion, and go into the herd of swine. They weren't just allowed to do it. They had to ask his permission because he is God. But he is the Son of God, and that is the name that we see introduced here in Psalm 2. It happened over and over. Luke 4:41. We'll look at another one where the evil spirits or the demons or devils, the Bible doesn't call them demons. Calls them devils, but Luke 4:41, "And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." So this was early in Christ's ministry. He's not ready to be revealed yet in all of his glory. And so he asked them to basically tone it down early in his ministry. And then Luke 8:28, we'll see it again. Luke chapter 8 and verse 28. "When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Now, this is a fallen angel. This is an evil spirit. But look how he refers to Jesus, the Son of God Most High. He has no choice, does he? He knows who Jesus is. He was created by Jesus. And now he has an encounter on earth with Jesus and refers to him as the Son of God Most High. Most High. What does that say? That's deity, isn't it? Most High. So even the devils recognized him as the Son of God. If you go to John chapter 9, we'll see here where Jesus discusses this title. So, Kelvin, could you read John 9, 35 to 38 for us?
Jesus heard that they had cast him out, that when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him.
And, yeah, that's it. So, Jesus said, Do you believe in the Son of God? This man was honest and said, Well, who is he? Jesus said, It's me. It's the one talking to you right now. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Now, we know from Scripture that only Almighty God, Jehovah, is allowed to be worshiped according to Scripture. Amen? Jesus never rejected worship. He always accepted worship. And that is because Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. That is his position in the Trinity. And it's not a lesser position. It's just the way God is. It's the way God chose to be. He chose to be a triune being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And it is what it is. It's not that God decided along the way to change things. This is how God always has been. And when he created us in his image, didn't he? That's not said about any other part of God's creation, not about the angels, not about the animals. Only man was created in the image of God. And Jesus tells us in John 5, let's turn there, that this makes him equal with God. So if you could read 18 and 25, Brad, of John 5.
Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. What was the other one, sorry?
25.
Verily, really I say unto you, that the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
So here, as using the title Son of God, he's saying that he's in control of the resurrection. That it will be his voice that will initiate the resurrection of the dead. Again, showing his power, making him equal with God. And then he does it again in John 10, if you want to turn there. Verses 30 to 36. Isaiah, you want to read that for us? John 10, 30 to 36. Again, Jesus claiming his deity. He does quote that obscure passage from Psalms. It's always been a bit confusing for all of us, but we'll ask him about it when we get to heaven. But he does make it very clear that he is the Son of God. And believing in him as the Son of God is part of our salvation even, isn't it? Look at John chapter 20, verse 31. Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us. This John is explaining here essentially the main purpose of writing his gospel, John 20:31.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
So he says, this is why I wrote my gospel, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And then in Acts chapter 8, we have the Ethiopian eunuch, verse 37, asking if he can get baptized. Well, he asks in verse 36. All modern Bibles have removed verse 37 for convenience so that people can carry on baptizing babies. But if you could read 36 and 37, Howard, of Acts 8. Amen. So this was the eunuch's confession after hearing the gospel from Philip, which where he started there in Isaiah 53, where the eunuch was just happened to be reading of all chapters. He was reading Isaiah 53. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he baptized him. He found some water and he baptized him. And of course, 1 John, let's turn there, verse chapter 4, verse 15. Makes it very clear in his epistle, John does, that we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Brent, if you could read 4:15 for us.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
And then 12 and 13 of chapter 5.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
It's a critical name in Scripture, isn't it? The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, introduced to us in Psalms 2, the first messianic psalm. So thoughts or questions about the sixth name of Jesus, the Son of God, all through Scripture, as we've seen, and even finishes with 1 John, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Nobody? Okay, so Psalm 16 then is our next messianic psalm. And verse 10. Let's see, whose turn is it? Philip, if you could read that for us, Psalm 16:10. So here we have a prophecy about Jesus. And the scriptures refer to him as Holy One. Holy One, all capitals. That is because that is one of his names. He is the Holy One. Now, it's important for us to understand that the Bible makes it very clear that this is also a title of Jehovah. So let's look at 43:3 of Isaiah and verse 15. And we'll see that, remember, when we see all caps in L-O-R-D, that is telling us that the Hebrew behind that Lord is Jehovah. And so 43:3 and 15. Mark, if you could read those two verses for us. Isaiah 43:3 and verse 15.
I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee.
And then 15.
I am the Lord, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel and King.
So who is the Holy One? It's Jehovah. But we just read in Psalm 16, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So more proof of the deity of Jesus Christ, amen, as the Holy One. Jehovah says he is the Holy One, and yet Jesus is referred to as the Holy One. 44 times in the Old Testament, primarily in Isaiah, Jehovah claims to be the Holy One, or uses that as one of his names. The Holy One. 44 times. That's a lot. We get to the book of Acts, if you want to look at Acts 2:31, and we see in Peter's first sermon here that he actually quotes Psalm 16:10, which we just read, Acts chapter 2 and verse 31. It says, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So Peter's quoting or referring to Psalm 16:10 and saying, this is Christ. This is referring to the resurrection of Christ. So that there's no confusion about who Psalm 16:10 was referring to. It's referring to Christ, Jesus Christ, as the Holy One. I don't know if we looked at Mark 1:24 a few minutes ago, but let's look at it. And yeah, we did not. This is a separate encounter with devils or evil spirits. James, Mark 1:24.
Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God.
So an evil spirit says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The Holy One. So obviously one of the names of Jesus used even in heaven, and this fallen angel knows, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. So one of Jesus' names, number 7, is he is the Holy One, even though if you look at Revelation 15:4, we're told that only Almighty God is holy. So Brandon, if you could read that for us, Revelation 15:4. Thou only art holy. So there can only be one Holy One, in other words. Amen? There can't be Jesus is the Holy One and the Father is the Holy One. Because the Bible says there's only one Holy One, which means they are one. Jesus is therefore God. And that name is very important to us as Christians, amen, because we're commanded in Scripture, therefore, be ye holy as he is holy. That's the number one attribute of God in the Old Testament is his holiness. It was written on the names of the band across the priest's head. Holiness to the Lord. It's the what the creatures were crying out in heaven when Isaiah was given a glimpse of heaven in Isaiah chapter 6. Holy, holy, holy. So it is a very prominent characteristic of our God, one that he wants us to emulate. 1 Peter 1, be as he is holy, therefore be ye holy. So the Holy One, that's our 7th name. Any thoughts or questions about that one? Aren't these beautiful? This is just Psalms. So which Old Testament book do you think has the most name, introduces the most names of Jesus? We would think Psalms, but it's not. It is Isaiah. Good job, Rex. And we can blame that on Isaiah 9:6, right? 5 names introduced in 1 verse. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And there are others as well. So Isaiah wins that competition. Psalms only has 5, Isaiah has 8. But that is 2 of the Psalms. Next week we'll dive into Psalms 24, where we read about the King of Glory. Another messianic psalm introducing the person and one of the names of Jesus Christ.